Well, here we are halfway through the season of Easter, and the theme that is at the very heart of today's readings is this understanding that the Good Shepherd is guiding us through this world, and this world is referred to as the Great Ordeal. That's helpful, isn't it? To know that what we're going through is the Great Ordeal. But what is the goal? The goal are the green pastures of heaven. The green pastures of heaven, so beautifully described in that second reading from the book of Revelation. And if you've paid attention to the readings, you'll hear the repeated use of the phrase that we are people who are destined to eternal life. But the challenge, of course, is in order to get to that destiny, we have to go through this world. And going through this world is a real challenge. But the message of this Good Shepherd Sunday, the message of Easter, the message of the Passion of Jesus is the following. Jesus does not remain aloof from us in our suffering. He actually comes into the valley of our darkness. He takes us by the hand, and this is key. He saves us through our suffering. Not that we avoid suffering, but he saves us through our suffering. This is the theme that is at the heart of the whole of the Bible. And it's something that a 14-year-old girl by the name of Mary Stevenson came to discover in her own life. Mary's mother died when she was six, and her father was left to raise her and her seven siblings during the Depression. On a very cold winter night, when Mary was wondering, where is the Good Shepherd? She had a piece of paper and a pencil, and the 14-year-old Mary Stevenson penned this most famous poem. One night I dreamed that I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes in my life flashed before me. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, and at other times there was only one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I asked the Lord, "You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I've noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there have only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, had you not been there for me?" And the Lord replied, "The times when you have seen only one set of footprints in the sand is when I carried you." I never knew before this week that this poem was written by a 14-year-old. Isn't that remarkable? 14 years old. And she's able to have not only the honesty to engage with the Lord and ask the hard questions, but she's also able to see that he, the Good Shepherd, carries me through the great ordeal of this world. I am sure everyone here this morning, everyone here, has asked Mary Stevenson's question. And maybe you're asking it in a particular way today. And so what we need to be able to do is to have a biblical perspective in order to understand how the Good Shepherd is leading us through this world to the eternal pastures of heaven. And this is what Jesus invites us to do, as he did with Mary. He invites us to hear his voice, to affirm that he knows us. And twice in today's very short gospel, there's this beautiful promise that we cannot be snatched out of his hands and we cannot be snatched out of the Father's hand. What I find so remarkable about Mary's poem is how she could affirm hearing the shepherd's voice in the midst of such trials. She was able to hear the voice of the loving shepherd while engulfed in an environment that was frightening and threatening. And this is the first thing that I want us to hear today. We need to remember that Palestinian shepherds extended their pastoral care in an environment where there were wolves everywhere. And secondly, in an environment where there were thieves who wanted nothing more than to snatch sheep from the shepherd's fold. Such is life, my beloved brothers and sisters, in this world. There are frightening forces that can make us feel like vulnerable sheep. But Jesus is with us, and he speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through the saints of the church. He gives us his consoling presence as we grow in a relationship with Our Lady. He comes to us through one another. And he does when the shepherds of the church are being true shepherds and not hirelings. He speaks to us and ministers to us through our priests, through our bishops, through our deacons. And in a special way, he comes to us in the meal that we sheep need to continually share in, the Eucharist. For in that reading from the Gospel, listen again to what Jesus says about the meal he provides for us. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. He doesn't say, I will give them. No, I give them right now in the present eternal life. Jesus gives us his very self. Well, let me tell you the story of another young person. Her name was Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. She received her first communion when she was a girl. But later on in life, in the Diary of the Soul that she wrote, she reflected back on what it meant for her to receive the eternal God in the Eucharist for the first time. And these are the words of Saint Thérèse. I felt that I was loved, and I said to Jesus, I love you, and I give myself to you forever. It was a fusion. Jesus and I were no longer two. I had vanished in him as a drop of water vanishes into the ocean. Jesus alone remained. And then Saint Thérèse ends her description of her first communion by recalling the joy she felt that day and the joy she experienced in receiving Jesus in the Eucharist. Now, here's the thing about Saint Thérèse that you might know. She died of tuberculosis at the age of 24. And as recently as 18 months before she contracted tuberculosis, she wrote these words. At this time, I was enjoying such a living faith, such a clear faith, that the thought of heaven made up all my happiness. And I was unable to believe that there were really impious people who had no faith. What was St. Thérèse experiencing here? The eternal pastures. But then she got sick. And you need to know that the last 18 months of St. Thérèse's life were inflicted with profound and deep suffering. And so the same young woman who had said, it's hard to believe that there are people who have no faith, within months, wrote these words. He permitted my soul to be invaded by the thickest darkness. And the thought of heaven, up until then so sweet to me, no longer felt of anything because of the cause of the struggle and the torment that I was experiencing. This trial did not last a few days or a few weeks. It was not extinguished until the hour set by God himself. And that hour had not yet come. Now listen to these words of Saint Thérèse. The woman, the girl who had had such a sense of unity with Jesus in the Eucharist, writes, the darkness, the borrowing of the voice of sinners says mockingly to me, you're dreaming about light, about a fatherland embalmed with sweet perfumes. You're dreaming about the eternal possession of the creator of all these marvels. You believe that one day you will walk out of this fog that surrounds you? Advance, advance. Rejoice in death, which will give you not what you hope for, but a night still more profound, the night of nothingness. Wow. These are the words of a doctor of the church. Two young people, a 14-year-old and a 24-year-old, so deeply knew and experienced the reality of the great ordeal of this world. But what is remarkable about Saint Therese, even though she perceived the absence of the shepherd's presence because of the howling of the devil, like Mary Stevenson, she knew that at that time, the Good Shepherd was carrying her through these most tortuous months. She knew the promise of Jesus in the midst of suffering, that Satan, and believe me, Satan is for real, there is a devil, and he wants our damnation. But Satan was not able to snatch her from Jesus' hand or from the Father's hand. Saint Therese died on the 30th of September at 7:20 in the evening. The last minutes of her life were recorded by the Carmelite community to which she belonged. Listen to these words. Her head fell back on the pillow, and she turned toward the right. The prioress had the infirmary bell rung, and the sisters quickly returned. Hardly had the community knelt at her bedside when Therese pronounced very distinctly, while gazing at her crucifix, "Oh, I love him." And a moment later, "My God, I love you." Suddenly, her eyes came to life and were fixed on a spot a little above the statue of the Blessed Virgin. Her face took on the appearance it had when Therese enjoyed good health. She seemed to be in ecstasy. This look lasted for the space of saying the creed. Then she closed her eyes and expired. It was 7:20 in the evening. A mysterious smile was on her lips. She appeared very beautiful. My beloved brothers and sisters, these two young people had a profound knowing. Although the wolves are howling, although the thieves will do everything to deter us from trusting Jesus the Good Shepherd and listening to his voice, we are not alone. We belong to a community of faith that not only had people with names like Mary Stevenson, Saint Therese of Lisieux, but we are part of that community depicted in the book of Revelation, the community that has come out of the great ordeal and is enjoying the eternal pastures. And what is heaven like? St. John could not put it more explicitly. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne shall be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the Christian faith. This is what we believe. And I don't know how else to make it through this world without friends like Mary Stevenson and Saint Therese of Lisieux. This morning, I want to encourage all of us to remember that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And when we see his footprints in the sand, and we only see the one set of footprints, remember that he is carrying us when we are overwhelmed. And when we see those two sets of footprints, remember that he is accompanying us when we can walk the rough and rocky terrain of this present ordeal, so that one day you and I will lie down in the green pastures of eternity and drink from the springs of the water of life.